WUKY presents health news you can use. It's Dr. Greg Davis on medicine.
We're hearing a lot about different COVID-19 vaccines in the news. I recently spoke with Dr. Clark Kibito, clinical associate professor in the Department of Pharmacy Practice and Science in the College of Pharmacy, about the new coronavirus vaccines and their distribution. Well, Clark, thank you very much for talking with me today. It seems as if the news is all vaccine all the time at this point, and rightfully so. We've been struggling with this pandemic now for going on to a year. Can you give us a little bit of an update about the vaccine and its distribution, and maybe specifically looking at Central Kentucky and beyond, what we can be expecting over the next few weeks?
Absolutely. Thanks again for the opportunity to sit down and talk today. So today is Thursday, December 17th. So as we're having this discussion, the FDA Advisory Committee is meeting. So they're listening to more information than what was released just 2 days ago on Tuesday for the second vaccine. It's expected to be approved under the Emergency Use Authorization, or an EUA. So that's an FDA classification that allows for the approval of new therapeutics and vaccine when the benefit outweighs the risk. And as you said, we're certainly in a situation where the efficacy of these vaccines has been really significant. It's an exciting time. It's also a difficult time. As you know, cases continue to rise, and we're seeing rising death counts. But I think the approval of these two vaccines has started to allow us to see a path forward here to hopefully reach a level of immunity in as safe a way as possible.
Yeah, this is something that I know we're all sort of waiting on tenterhooks, looking at and considering things that perhaps we haven't thought about before, supply streams and distribution, transportation, maintenance of, low temperature refrigeration, that sort of thing. What does that mean for frontline folks and for folks who may be a little bit further down the algorithm for receiving the vaccine?
Absolutely. At this point, it's as you've probably seen on the news, or as most people have been following this, there is limited amount of supply of the vaccine is first. One of the unique things that the manufacturers who have sought approval have done production at the same time. They've completed phase two and phase three trials. So this initial batch of vaccine was being manufactured at the same time that these companies were taking a chance while seeking regulatory approval. Now, as far as supply chain, one of the things that makes it unique is that this new type of vaccine requires much more stringent storage requirements than what we're used to for, say, the influenza vaccine, for example. The Pfizer, the one that was approved first vaccine in particular, has to be stored at very, very cold temperatures. And so I think from a supply chain standpoint, that's why you're seeing most of this stored at hospitals and other facilities that have the capability to store in significantly cold temperatures. The second vaccine, produced by a company named Moderna, also has cold storage requirements, but it's expected to be stable at refrigerated temperatures for a little bit longer period of time, which I think is going to allow distribution to clinics, pharmacies, other places that don't have the same level of equipment. So it's going to be a combination effort. I think the advent of both of these vaccines and their unique distribution patterns is going to play a role in vaccinating, of course, our healthcare professionals first, and those at highest risk in long-term care facilities, and then seeking from there, following ACIP or the CDC's recommendations on distributing the vaccine in a prioritized fashion.
And speaking of health professionals, we're looking at a wide spectrum of health professionals who will be distributing the vaccine, and I know you and I have talked before about the role of pharmacists. They're going to be at the forefront of getting this vaccine out to people.
Yeah, absolutely. Give a shout out to my colleagues at UK Healthcare who have done a fantastic job in helping to facilitate this effort, administer vaccines, and facilitate the process, and I think pharmacists are going to continue to play a significant role. So especially as we move out to those spaces, as we start to, you know, look at essential workers, teachers, those at higher risk, pharmacists are going to play a significant part in interacting with the public and helping to get our community at large vaccinated. You know, specifically, there have been efforts by larger pharmacy chains to assist the government in a focus on long-term care facilities and skilled nursing facilities. And so I think you're seeing healthcare professionals across the spectrum contribute, but I do think pharmacy has a significant role to play.
So in the midst of thinking about all this, I know we all have some hope that perhaps there's at least a glimmer of light at the end of the tunnel, but what can we be doing in the meantime as we await a vaccine, and even after we receive the vaccine, what can we be doing to try to flatten the curve to get this pandemic under control?
Well, you started that question with hope, and if you remember back, the FDA released kind of their expectations for these vaccines, almost like a minimum bar to reach, and that level was about 50%. So what that means is that in the intervention group for the actual vaccine versus the placebo, it would need to be at least 50% effective. In clinical trials, both of these vaccines exceeded that threshold significantly. So for this to happen in so short of time is fantastic, and does provide us an opportunity that with continued distribution and administration throughout the upcoming months, that this is an opportunity to, so I would say for those listening, if and when you do have the opportunity to get the vaccine, I would strongly encourage you to do so. But as for right now, those who, continuing to take the protective measures, including, staying 6 feet apart, wearing a mask, avoiding, indoor activities and congregating in groups, those same measures that worked a few months back are still going to work. And I know it's been going on for a long time, but I just want to continue to encourage those that to continue to take those measures that you're going to see in the next few months. We're going to follow. Not only do we know from the trial that this vaccine is effective, but this will be, from a public health standpoint, one of the most monitored and followed interventions, and continuing those efforts until vaccination can reach that point is really the steps that we take now in hopes of eventually getting through this thing here in the subsequent months.
Clark, is there anything that we haven't touched on before we part that you would like our listeners to know?
No, I think one thing that's really important is that just want to reiterate, if given the opportunity to get the vaccine, I would strongly encourage you to do it, not only for your own protection, but for those around you. So one of the things that was really interesting in the trials was not only were both vaccines really effective at preventing infection 2 weeks after the second administration, but often in both trials, particularly the second one with the Moderna vaccine, showed really promising data that even when those who were vaccinated didn't experience nearly the same amount of severe COVID-19 symptoms. So we're talking like hospitalizations and obviously the outcomes we want for nobody. But that's a really promising sign. And so when given the opportunity, feel free to, ask your healthcare provider, ask your pharmacist. We look forward to working together over these next few months to get through this.
My thanks today to Dr. Clark Kibideau, Clinical Associate Professor in the Department of Pharmacy Practice and Science in the College of Pharmacy, for talking with us about the new coronavirus vaccines and their distribution. For more information, visit our website at wuky.org. With health news you can use, I'm Dr. Greg Davis on Medicine.
Dr. Greg Davis is a forensic pathologist at the University of Kentucky who volunteers his time to cover important medical news for our community. This program is available as a podcast at wuky.org.